from the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. The Millionaire Maker, Hillary Kramer, Travel with Valerie Delia, Nicole Sapphire, MD, Senior Medical Contributor to Fox News Channel, and Physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering Medical Center. Legal expertise by Arthur Idala, Attorney to the Stars, and Christine Nicholas, the quintessential heartbeat of New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other, united to bring back New York. And now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Radio Night Live off and running on Legal Night. And boy, did we hit the mother load for stories this week. If you paid any attention today, you saw story after story get filed about this Gabby Petito case. We're going to get into that with Arthur, and we've got some other things that we're going to talk about. Just always so glad to have you join us. But Arthur, tonight's kind of a big night for a couple of reasons. One, you're having dinner with the Democratic mayoral nominee, Mr. Adams, who also happens to be your borough president. So this is probably good for you on multiple levels. But I didn't tell you this before we went on the air. It's also my Jonathan's 9th birthday today. So this is a huge day for Arthur and Kevin.
Well, September 16th, I guess it's a big day. And, you know, Kev, I just want to thank you because last week we got to talk about September 11th and the 20-year anniversary. And I got a lot of positive feedback about what a great show that was and you know, acknowledging that day. And it turned out to be a very hard day, a very painful day, but yeah. I honored my friend's memory, Joe Hess, and, I think pretty admirably, and I really thought the 9/11 ceremony was excellent and well done and well choreographed. So I just want to thank you for you know, allowing me to have that segment last week. I think it was important for America and to never forget, and I think we did a decent job doing that. As for this evening,
how did Mom Idala feel about the show? Because forget what everybody else said. I just want to know what Mom had to say.
No, she listens and she enjoys you very, very, very much. And I may kidnap her and bring her on our booze cruise or schmooze cruise or whatever Jerry Crowley calls it. But no, my whole family and friends, and I actually sent the clip around to my buddy Joe Hassan's family.
Oh, that's nice.
And they were very appreciative of what you and I acknowledged. And yes, I'm going to, as soon as we're done with the show here, this evening I'm going to go run over to the Columbus Citizens Foundation. Yes, Columbus, it's a word that you are allowed to say without getting indicted here in the city of New York. And it's the organization that runs the Columbus Day Parade, which will be held this year on Monday. I don't know the date off the top of my head. Maybe the 9th. When I'm very much looking forward to that because my cousin, Father Anthony Sorgi, is actually giving the homily in St. Patrick's Cathedral for the Columbus Day Parade, which is a tremendous honor. He was handpicked by the Cardinal, and that's a big event for the Idala family. We will be there in Moss. But I'm about to go see Eric Adams, the Democratic nominee. And I'll tell you this. I've known Eric for a long time. When I say a long time, let me put it in context. About 14 years. I think that's about 13 or 14 years. He's always been the consummate gentleman. And he's been someone who seems to accomplish the things that he has said he's going to accomplish as a politician. And, Kevin, as you know, it's a lot easier to say you're going to do things, a lot harder to actually do them. But
yeah.
And I tell him that. I have the type of relationship with Kevin where I just say, I said, Eric, that was an unbelievable speech. I love all of your goals. I said, I just hope when you get into office, if you get into office, Curtis doesn't run you over. You know, you lose track of the goals and the achievements that you really, the platform that you ran on.
Well, you know what's interesting about this, and I've only had the chance to be with Eric once, and it was in the studio for a Cats at Night show with John, but he was in there for the full hour, and I felt a very big sense of discipline. You know, he had his handler with him, but they were very on money all night in terms of what they wanted to get out and say and so forth. And I do feel like there's a certain degree of seriousness about the city and his concern for where the city's at that I don't even that I really don't feel at all coming from the current administration. So, I mean, even though they're of the same party. And the other thing that I'm curious about, Arthur, and I'd be very welcome to your honest opinion about this, is, you know, Eric he's taking a very sizable risk in terms of a stand as being more of a moderate in his own party and being 100%. more law enforcement 100%. Friendly. And I'm wondering when he starts having to deal with that bat crazy city council that he's going to have working there. I really want to know what his strategy is for being able to keep things kind of where he is. Cause I feel like if he's able to be who he is now as mayor, I think that the city will do pretty well. But if they start pulling,
you're right, Kevin. I think his game plan, I know what his game plan is. I'm sure he's going to discuss it this evening, is he's really going to empower his commissioners to change their attitude on how they treat the constituents. So, you know, one of his campaign rallying cries is, I don't want to hear from the Department of Buildings how many summonses they handed out. I want to hear how many apartment buildings they opened up, how many stores they have opened up. I want to hear how they're helping New Yorkers, not hurting New Yorkers. And he rattled off. He goes, you know, when the fire department goes in to do their inspections, you know, I don't want to hear how they, oh, we wrote up 16 things. I want to hear how they helped the owners of the building, you know, fix it and make sure everything's in compliance.
Yeah.
He's made it no secret. He wants to be a very business-friendly administration because he said small business is what drives this city. And, I mean, I happen to agree with him. And I'm a small businessman with my little law firm. Other small businesses that I am involved with or counseled with. So if he could stick to that, because he is concerned about the left-leaning city council, but there's, you know, the mayor has a tremendous amount of power, and his administration has a tremendous amount of power, and he's hoping that he's going to use that to help business. You know, everyone knows him as the crime-fighting Eric Adams is a 22-year veteran of the NYPD, but he's very focused on the being friendly to the business community.
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting is he's going to be if he's successful, he's going to be inheriting a city that's at an all-time crucible in terms of issues that we're dealing with. I'm looking at the New York Post front page, and this will be no doubt in tomorrow's newspaper. But you know, last night at 10 p.m. at East 60th and Madison. And so we're not talking about,
right.
You know,
a really the east side, right?
Yeah, we're not
the
talking
nice,
about a really
nice
disreputable. Yeah, we're talking about pretty decent part of Manhattan. And two guys walk up, rob a guy of his Rolex. They're seated in an eating area for a restaurant. They walk up to him, point a gun, take his Rolex. Another guy gets shot. It's complete mayhem, and this is not in the housing projects. This is not somewhere out in Brooklyn or Queens.
This is a real estate I can't afford to live in, and I'm not being facetious. 60. I mean, I live in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. 60th and Madison is the real deal. And Kevin, just to that point, before I even heard this story and you were going to speak of it, I sadly have gotten to a point.
Hold the thought, Arthur. The music means we got to take a break. We'll come back to this.
Okay,
we're talking about last night's robbery. Don't go away.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and out all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his new My Slippers. slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. 800-651-0798. Use that promo code JOEP or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code JOEP. You will also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. 800-651-0798. Promo code JOEP.
Charlie Kirk believes we are seeing the decline of America.
Right now, there are hundreds of people that run your country, run our military, run our government, that are kind of like, what's the big deal if we lose? Who cares if it's humiliating? What's important is whether or not we get paid. What's important is whether or not my child goes to Harvard. I mean, we do that all the time. That's all we've done is lose over the last 30 years. And we get promoted while doing it.
The Charlie Kirk Podcast, available on SalemPodcastNetwork.com and everywhere podcasts are heard.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Hi, I'm Kevin McCullough. There are people that live in all kinds of circumstances, and sometimes the houses we have or the homes that we have inherited or can't seem to service anymore, they become bigger headaches than they're worth. That's why my good friends Sean and George at Swift Homebuyers are ready to help you now. They'll pay cash for your house. It doesn't matter what kind it is. Could be vacant, could be left over from a divorce, a junk house that needs thousands in repairs. They'll buy a house in any condition at any price. Cash for probate, inherited houses, houses where you have renters that won't pay their rent. Sean and George and Swift Homebuyers are Christians and they are a family-owned real estate business. Call them today and find out what you can get from them for your house that's given you this headache. 732-800-4020. They'll buy houses in any condition and they'll pay cash. Kevin McCullough, I trust Swift Homebuyers to get the cash out of your home that you need. I think you should give them a call. 732-800-4020. That's 732-800-4020.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Ben Shapiro sees more overreaction from the left.
CNN reports today, quote, a rock that students call a symbol of racism has been removed from University of Wisconsin. And now they spend, I kid you not, $50,000 to remove a 42-ton boulder for no reason other than apparently students of color at the University of Wisconsin are offended by a rock that is not racist because it's a rock that is not racist.
The Ben Shapiro Show, weeknights at 5 and 9 on AM 970. The Answer.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at AM970TheAnswer.com.
And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Well, don't forget, friends, tomorrow night, it is our big broadcast for Broadway at Hunt and Fish. And if you do not have a table, you need to call. There may not be any more available. I'm getting mixed reports on whether or not the event is sold out. I think that it is, but you should call and find out for sure to see if you can get a seat, or maybe there's a waiting list and you can join us. But we've got a massive number of people that are going to join us that you're going to just be blown away by. 347-625-1220. 347-625-1220. That's the number for Hunt and Fish. You can get a reservation there. And I want to tell you the update, who we have coming. We have got Pearl Sun of Come From Away. We've got Brad Oscar from Mrs. Doubtfire. We've got Samantha Williams, who's in Caroline or Change. And we have two-time Tony winner, Brian Stokes Mitchell, who serenaded the essential workers every night through pandemic, singing his Broadway hit Quest from a window. But we've also got Alex Bursch of Playbill. We've got Michael Riedel, the author of Singular Sensation. We've got Terrence Monahan, Tom Harris, Joe Benincasa, Christine Nicholas, and myself going to be with you. It's going to be a fabulous time. 5 to 8 tomorrow at Hunt and Fish, Midtown, 6th and between 6th and Broadway. It's on West 44th. You can join us there. But back to last night's late night crime there at Philip Chow on East 60th and Madison. Arthur Idala, you were saying that this is not in a high crime part of town.
No, Philippe Chow, are you kidding me? You couldn't afford a bowl of wonton soup in that place. I mean, it is a really expensive place. I think it's either the highest zip code or the second highest zip code in the city of New York. I'm flabbergasted that this happened there, but it shows my New York City instincts are correct, because I'll tell you this, Kev. Before my uncle Angelo Morelli passed away, and I'm happy he did this before, about many years before, he took his Rolex off his wrist and gave it to me. And he said, I was going to give this to you. My wife's going to give this to you when I died. But I said, I don't want you to have it when I die. I want to see you wear it. I don't know if it costs $1 or $1 million. But to me, it's my uncle. He's gone. And to me, it's invaluable. And I have gotten to a point now, when I leave my law firm after 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I take the watch off and I leave it in my desk drawer, because I have to walk home. And the city does not have that sense of security. And I'm in between Times Square and Rockefeller Center. I mean, there's usually police officers everywhere. But all it takes is 1 second for some jerk to show a knife or show a gun. And of course, my uncle would tell me, take that watch off as soon as you can and hand it over to me. So I just leave it there. And the fact that you're telling me that this happened last night at an even nicer location just validates my New York City instincts. And look, had Eric Adams not prevailed in the Democratic primary, and that's where he really took the risk by being so moderate. I mean, it was after the second recount, Maya Wiley, who ran on a platform of defunding and taking away the guns, de-gunning the police, right. She was in the lead or in the second place. I mean, had she won, then I would say that Curtis Lee would be the next mayor of the city of New York, because I think people would come out in droves in every neighborhood of the city if you have someone who's running on taking guns away from New York City police officers. Whomever comes in, whether it's Curtis or Eric, we're in great shape, because both of them have made, you know, law enforcement their priority, and they have the chops to do it. They have the standing to do it. Many people don't remember 8 years ago when de Blasio was running, he did announce that Bill Bratton would be his police commissioner, and that really balanced out his left-leaning, liberal-leaning ways at that point anyway, because, you know, Bratton was Giuliani's right-hand man right. You know, 20 years before that. So, you know, the city is, I'm about to meet the mayoral candidate, Eric Adams, and I'm sure we're going to talk about crime. And you know what? I'm going to bring up this incident that you just told me about, and I know what he's going to say. He's like, yeah, we got to get to work. We got to empower the police. We got to support the police. Of course, there's bad apples in every crate. There's bad lawyers in every crate. There's bad car mechanics in every crate. But, you know, those, the vast, vast majority are there to do the right thing, and their heart is in the right place, and we need them. So,
no,
you know,
doubt.
There's a lot of crime stories we can talk about, Kevin. You tell me which one you want to go with. I mean,
let's
talk about what happened on the West Coast.
Yeah, we're going to get to Petito in a minute, but I want to ask you about one other story here locally, and it has to do with Rikers Island. Disastrous series of events there. What do you make of it? And if you and Mr. Adams have a chance to bring it up tonight, what's your advice to him?
I mean, the mayor, the current mayor, de Blasio, he's saying, he's going to ask the NYPD to get in there. Let me tell you something. I know correction officers. They are suffering. The correction officers themselves are suffering. They're just totally understaffed. They're working these incredibly long shifts. There's a correction officer who is friendly with an inmate who I'm representing. And the correction officer, I said, look, you know, this guy's having a problem getting water. You know what his answer to me was, Kevin? So am I. He's an officer. He's wearing the shield. He's like, I'm having problems getting water, you know, like bottled water inside the facility. It's just, they've let it slip. They've let it go away. I mean, you have to give, you know, Rudy, I had Carrick as the commissioner, and then Bloomberg. You know, things were much better. If you look at the statistics of people getting stabbed in Rikers Island, shanked is what they call them, because they make anything into a knife.
Right.
You know, back in the 80s and the early 90s, it was so high. The numbers were so high. And 10 years ago, they were tiny. They were tiny. They were so low. And now, you know, it's just, it needs to be addressed immediately. Like, not like in a week or a month, because what folks have to understand, with the exception of a few folks in there, the vast majority of people in Rikers Island are presumed innocent. They have people waiting to have their cases to be heard.
These are not people who have lost their presumption of innocence. These are not people who have been convicted. Anyone who pled guilty or is convicted of a crime that is under 1 year punishment, yes, they may stay at Rikers Island. But if you're sentenced to more than a year, you get shipped out and you get shipped to upstate New York. But most of the people who are in there are just waiting for their cases to be heard, and technically they're presumed innocent, and yet they're suffering in a way that we should be ashamed of ourselves as New Yorkers and as humanitarians, that we're treating our fellow citizens.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, Kevin, are in there on petty crimes. We're not talking about murderers and rapists. You know, we're talking about people, you know, who have done much lesser crimes, who are really, really suffering at this point. And it's not how New York City, it's nothing that New York City should be proud of. And I don't know if de Blasio doesn't have enough gas in the tank to really roll up his sleeves and address it.
Well, tonight,
the
mayor is pledging to visit, but only after his emergency executive order to stabilize the place has gone into what's called full effect. So we'll have to wait and see how long it takes him to actually get over there. But anyway, when we come back, there is another high-profile missing woman's case. We'll talk about it coming up next on Radio Night Live.
It's Dr. Lederman talking about prostate cancer.
Your PSA went from 3 to 4 to 6.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden it jumped to 60.
It was a shock to me. That's when I called Radio Surgery New York. Your office is a whole nother world. You immediately took this whole thing into your own hands. It's beyond efficient.
Did you ever have a doubt that we weren't working for your benefit?
Not for 1 second.
And you knew that you had a cancer of the prostate that was aggressive and went to lymph nodes. And we put together a plan to try to get this terrible cancer under control, right?
It was just like you say, no pain, no cutting, no bleeding. It was so easy. No side effects, no nothing. Just perfect.
What was your PSA this week?
0.02.
Wow. For more prostate cancer information, call Dr. Lederman. 2 and 2 choices, 2 and 2 choices. Most insurances, Medicare, Medicaid accepted. 1384 Broadway.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the New Jersey Army National Guard. Aired by the New Jersey Broadcasters Association and this station.
Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM970TheAnswer.com.
Now, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Well, it's a good thing that you're with us tonight because we're talking about the hottest stories of the day, particularly as it relates to this next thing. And by the way, every weeknight, we're grateful that you are able to join us for Radio Night Live. Our effort, all in the cause of bringing New York back. And we have a ways to go, but we are committed to that process every single night. And tomorrow night, we hope to see a lot of you at Hunt and Fish. Please go to Hunt and Fish on the website or just call them and secure your table for tomorrow night's big broadcast for Broadway, 347-625-1220. They're open right now. They can take your reservations for tomorrow, 347-625-1220. Arthur Idala, if you look at If you just Google the name Gabby Petito right now, it is obsessing every molecule of oxygen in the news universe. And what you have got going on from the New York Post to Fox News to CNN to MSNBC is an all out manhunt for where this girl's body or where she is located. And you've got her family accusing the
fiance's family, of knowing where she is but not telling anybody. You've got now, I guess, footage that's been unveiled of the two of them having an altercation. What do you make of where we're at with this? Does it remind you of any other high-profile missing persons cases? And what are your thoughts as we're starting to kind of get more details?
Well, here, let me lay out the facts real quick. The young lady, Gabrielle Petito, she's in her 20s. Her and her boyfriend, Brian Laundry, left the East Coast on July the 2nd to drive cross-country in a van. They had the van, like, well, they could sleep in the van and all of that. Somewhere around mid-August, the police were called, and they were summoned to a location where she was hysterically crying. But, you know, when you look at the police reports, it's hard to know who's actually the victim there, because he's claiming that you know, she was attacking him. The police actually went out of their way and got a hotel room so that it made him stay in the hotel room and she stayed in the van. And then all of a sudden, her family stopped hearing from her. And there was one last text to her mom saying, I don't have good service here. But we don't know if she's the one who actually sent that. Next thing you know, the boyfriend shows up back on the East Coast without her. And no one's heard from her. And now they're looking, they're begging for the guy, Brian, the boyfriend, to come forward and speak. Now, you know, think about it. Think about the frustration, Kevin. You have your daughter. She's your whole life. The whole world revolves around her. And here she is going cross country with this guy who I don't think the parents liked initially. And the last you hear from her is in Utah. The police report happens in Utah, right? Can't really get further from Suffolk County, Long Island, in Utah.
Yeah.
And now he's back. He's in Florida, Brian, with the van, without her. He's now hired a lawyer, and he's refusing to speak. So let's put on our common sense hats. If she slipped and fell off a cliff, and she fell in a ravine, and you're a lawyer, and he comes to me, of course I'm going to say, let's go in and tell him what happened. Let's go tell him what we can find. You're not going to get in that much trouble for not reporting her slipping off a thing. However, if he says we had a really bad fight and I lost my temper and something horrible happened, as a lawyer, you're going to tell him to keep his mouth shut. But from a parent's point of view, you know, absolute devastation for them, with the fear of the unknown. And the unknown probably is that she's no longer with us. But Brian, the kid, Laundry, he's not talking. He lawyered up. The cops, obviously, all the investigators want to speak with him. The FBI is involved. And, you know, it's becoming a Casey Anthony, Natalie Holloway, you know, type of case where it's getting national, if not now, international publicity.
No, it totally is. And Arthur, from a law enforcement standpoint and from a courtroom standpoint, I know that you've got there's all kinds of things that, you know, are based on process and paperwork filed at the right time and this and that and all the rest of it. But I will tell you from an outsider, common sense, just kind of like thinking it through, when you hear that he returned home without her, number one. Number two, he's not talking. And number three, doesn't seem to be interested in being helpful. Those are all things that tend to work against innocence in a general sense.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And
if you didn't actually murder her, I would say you need to be fighting for your life to prove your innocence. And the fact that he just wants to kind of hang out and not talk, that just bodes badly for me. But let's get into the details of that on the other side of this break, because the music means we're going to break. And then, of course, in the segment after that, we're going to do some Esquire etiquette for your evening before Arthur runs off and has dinner with the mayoral nominee for the Democrats, Eric Adams, who's also his borough president. So, you know, it's kind of a thing. Anyway, Kevin McCullough, Radio Night Live. We're coming right back.
The United States has killed Osama bin Laden.
Hours after that announcement, the White House leaked that it was SEAL Team 6 that carried out the operation. Al-Qaeda placed bounties on the heads of all Navy SEALs.
Then just 3 months later,
Extortion went 7, requesting permission to take off.
A U.S. Army helicopter carrying many from SEAL Team 6 and others entered the Tagi Valley.
I saw a flash. You seen a flash?
Anybody out there? We have a fallen angel. A fallen angel. Roger.
Extortion 1-7, the provocative new film telling the story of the largest loss of life in U.S. Special Forces history. Now playing on SalemNow.com. Questions quickly arise. Why did it take 17 minutes to fly a 10-minute mission? Was there a black box on board?
Every American should be taught about what happened in Extortion 17.
What really happened to SEAL Team 6 that dreadful night? Fallen Angel, Extortion 1-7, the story most Americans don't know. Watch exclusively at SalemNow.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Wish there was an easier way to navigate the world of real estate. If only there was a way to learn from the best. Well, now there is. Saturdays at 10, our very own Dottie Herman, vice chair of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay one step ahead in today's seller's market as Dottie gives her tips on how to make it through the tricky waters. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet, you need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you're getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there is no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she is the best, period. So tune in, Eye on Real Estate, Saturdays at 10 on AM 970, The Answer. That's Eye on Real Estate, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Mike Gallagher is watching a downward spiral.
He essentially said the buck stops with me and then blamed everybody else. It's Trump's fault. It's the Afghans' fault, Afghanistan people's fault. It's the Afghanistan military's fault. It's the weather. The dog ate his homework. My goodness, what a catastrophe. I don't know that we've ever seen a presidency collapse this soon.
The Mike Gallagher Show. Weekdays at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, my name is Ryan Bourne.
And I'm Danica Bourne.
And we're the owners of South Coast Tax. We would like to thank our Lord for protecting us from evil. Psalm 91 states, He is my refuge and my fortress, for He will rescue us from every trap and protect us from deadly disease.
South Coast Tax are Christian-based tax accountants and attorneys who specialize in releasing bank levies, wage garnishments, and filing complex tax returns. We are the leaders in acceptance of offers and compromise with awesome results.
We are also a small firm. We'll treat you like family and not just a number.
Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176 for a free consultation, and we'll take the time to explain all of the programs that you qualify for in order to allow you a fresh start.
In John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And one way we can achieve that is by being debt-free. So let us help you today. Call us at 1-800-TAX-1176, and together we can help achieve this goal by putting the IRS tax debt behind you for good. Again, that number is 1-800-TAX-1176.
Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough, tonight at 7. From New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough.
All right, I hope you come see us tomorrow night. Broadcast for Broadway, Hunt and Fish, 347-625-1220. Get a table if there are any left. We may be completely sold out, which is a great thing, but I feel badly if you were wanting to see us and you don't get to. That's tomorrow night. Hunt and Fish, 5 to 8, will be on the air, 6 to 8 here on AM 970, Radio Night Live. Arthur Idala. You take your girlfriend, you drive to Utah. You have a well-documented fight. It's caught on police body cams. They separate the two. Days later, boyfriend shows up at home, no girlfriend that he drove to Utah with. Days later, not talking. Days later, doesn't seem even all that interested in what happened to his fiance, I guess. At one point they were engaged or were going to be or something along those lines. I don't know what your profession of love was to this woman, but it just stinks to high heaven. You were going to address the circumstantial nature of this.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is as you just said before the break, it does not. All of his actions do not lead to a presumption of innocence, even though by the United States Constitution he's presumed innocent. So I think basically what he's doing, he's hanging back and saying, "Look, see if you can prove your case." They may not even have enough evidence right now to go to a judge, to go to the van to search the van to see if there's any DNA or any kind of forensic evidence in there that they can investigate and maybe tie to him. Are there any blood fragments, any hair fragments? Obviously there would be, she was in the van, there's no doubt about that, so there'd be some identification, but is there anything in there that would show, saliva, anything that shows a struggle, these guys now are brilliant, the forensic investigators.
Right.
So, they may never, this could be one of those things where this guy, if he did it, gets away with it, hypothetically, if he pushed her off of some place in Utah and her body is in the bottom of, I hate to talk like this, but...
No, that's the reality.
You're in the middle of nowhere. When you're in the middle of nowhere, it may be easier to get away with something than not. I mean, they can't arrest him because they had a fight, a week before, 2 weeks before, and she was crying. I mean, that's not enough. I mean, you need more than that.
So the Florida police... The Florida police have been questioned about this by the media, and they're saying there's no evidence of any criminality, and they're only treating it like a missing persons case. So talk to me, Arthur. What does that mean in terms of how much they can press him? Because if there's even a slight outside chance that she's still alive, it may be a race against time to find her.
Yeah, well, also, when you're talking about getting between different jurisdictions, different states, the FBI gets involved. It's also a federal investigation. So, he's got a lawyer. They know who the lawyer is. So they, now they could, can they sit in front of his house and watch him come and go? Yes. They probably don't have enough evidence to get any kind of a phone tap on him or a search warrant of his home and or the van. So they have to work as hard as they can and then catch some sort of a break somewhere, somehow. A new witness pops up. They find more surveillance somewhere, some video somewhere. In Manhattan, right? There's now a camera every 3 feet. Someone's got the Ring doorbell or the Nest or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, my presumption is in the middle of Utah. They're in these national parks. There's not too many Ring doorbells on a tree, so they can just keep working until they catch a break.
And who knows? Who knows what beasts of nature do to evidence? When they happen across a fresh kill. So it's, I don't know, that's really sad. Well, there was another big story is catching headlines here, Arthur, and before we go to Esquire Etiquette, the Murdaugh case, what's happening here in South Carolina? Because this seems kind of interesting as well.
A guy named Alex Murdaugh, he was a partner in a big law firm in South Carolina, very prestigious family, and about a month ago, his wife and one of his two sons were shot and killed. And I do not believe there was an arrest made in that case. Nobody knew what that was all about. He was thrown out of his law firm. I believe he had, this is the father now, Alex Murdaugh. I believe he had some financial issues. And then we heard, I think it was last week, 10 days ago, that he was changing a tire on the side of the road and he got shot in the head. Now, he didn't get killed. It was just a graze wound, et cetera, et cetera. You're like, okay, something weird is going on here. Today at 2 o'clock, he surrendered. His mugshot is all over the internet. He surrendered on insurance fraud because the punchline here is that he paid one of his older clients, a 61-year-old man, a former client, he paid him money to kill him so that his son, who is alive, would get the $10 million life insurance policy. Crazy. I mean, just nuts. So it's insurance fraud. I mean, you can't. In your insurance policy, there's usually clauses against suicide, or in some, I believe in his, there was a clause against suicide. So he was just plotting to be murdered, which is a form of suicide. And the other guy got charged. The 61-year-old shooter got charged with, I believe, so far only assisting a suicide, not murder, because he was asked to do it. So he didn't have the. He did have the intent to kill, but he had the intent to kill at the wishes of the proposed.
Yeah, at the permission of the guys.
Well, crazy, weird, wild case.
I mean, it's one thing to.
There's one boy whose mother's dead, brother's dead, and father's in jail.
Well, and so, look, it's easy to be very black and white about things and get very morally, preachy about all this stuff. But here's a dad who is looking at his son's future and realizes he's lost all of this. And I can't even begin to imagine how desperate that father is to put out a hit on himself for his son's right. well-being. But I got to say, I don't think that this is a, you know, this doesn't seem to be the type of crime that is intended to, you know, be a terrible thing against the rest of society. Like, he's desperate and he's going to
100%. The underlying thing here, though, that is a crime against society, is they're saying that the father, Alex, suffers from some degree of opioid addiction. And, you know, that's an epidemic right now, Kevin, that's affecting really every part of our society, from the very, very, very wealthy and privileged to those who are very much struggling.
All right. When we come back, Esquire Etiquette, as a very special edition of Radio Night Live, is underway. It is Legal Night. Arthur Idala breaking down the biggest cases in the country. And who knows, there may be even more breaking news before we're done. But when we come back, Esquire Etiquette, and it's Radio Night Live, and we're coming right back. Stay with us. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Wish there was an easier way to navigate the world of real estate. If only there was a way to learn from the best. Well, now there is. Saturdays at 10, our very own Dottie Herman, Vice Chair of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay one step ahead in today's seller's market as Dottie gives her tips on how to make it through the tricky waters. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet, you need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you're getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there is no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she is the best, period. So tune in, Eye on Real Estate, Saturdays at 10 on AM 970, The Answer. That's Eye on Real Estate, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on AM 970, The Answer.
The United States has killed Osama bin Laden.
Hours after that announcement, the White House leaked that it was SEAL Team 6 that carried out the operation. Al-Qaeda placed bounties on the heads of all Navy SEALs. Then, just 3 months later,
extortion went 7, requesting permission to take off.
A U.S. Army helicopter carrying many from SEAL Team 6 and others entered the Taguig Valley.
I saw a flash. You seen a flash? Anybody out there? We have a fallen angel. Fallen angel. Roger.
Extortion 1-7, the provocative new film telling the story of the largest loss of life in U.S. Special Forces history. Now playing on SalemNow.com. Questions quickly arise. Why did it take 17 minutes to fly a 10-minute mission? Was there a black box on board?
Every American should be taught about what happened in Extortion 17.
What really happened to SEAL Team 6 that dreadful night? Fallen Angel, Extortion 1-7, the story most Americans don't know. Watch exclusively at SalemNow.com. Dinesh D'Souza can teach you a thing or two.
They're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time.
Where have we heard that before? Well, the first time I really heard it was during the hostage crisis. Remember? Jimmy Carter, in which this superpower, America, is just being humiliated day after day after day. Well, those days are here again.
The Dinesh D'Souza Podcast, available on SalemPodcastNetwork.com and everywhere podcasts are heard.
Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Dinesh D'Souza can teach you a thing or two.
They're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time.
Where have we heard that before? Well, the first time I really heard it was during the hostage crisis. Remember? Jimmy Carter, in which this superpower, America, is just being humiliated day after day after day. Well, those days are here again.
The Dinesh D'Souza Podcast, available on SalemPodcastNetwork.com and everywhere podcasts are heard. Carl Jackson is next on AM 970, The Answer. Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
Guys, last chance I'm going to have to tell you. Come join us tomorrow night, broadcast for Broadway at Hunt and Fish Club, West 44th Street between 6th and Broadway. Brian Stokes Mitchell, Brad Oscar. We've got Samantha Williams. We've got Pearl Soon. We've got Joe Benincasa, Tom Harris, Terrence Monahan. We've got Michael Riedel, and we've got Alex Bursch, and there's more. There are more that are still wanting to be part of what we're doing tomorrow night. So I can't recommend strongly enough that you come and join us. 347-625-1220 if you want a table, 347-625-1220. You have to reserve a place to be able to come and see. 347-625-1220 to be part of it tomorrow night. Arthur Idala, on Legal Night, you always end it with giving us some good advice. Last week, actually, you gave us a very touching personal insight to your own legal past, one of your dad's famous cases. But what do you have for us tonight?
Well, it's going to sound a little self-serving for my industry, for the legal industry. I'm just going to run two quick cases by you that I've been confronted with in the last 2 days. And the moral of the story, I'll begin with the conclusion, is like the money you may spend on a lawyer initially has a very high likelihood of saving you money that you may have to spend on a lawyer subsequently. So one of them was a very well-known restaurant was going to expand, and they were going to open up a second location, and they were going to take in a partner. And we're not talking about a place that's opening up for $40,000. We're talking about a place that's opening up for, $3 or $4 million. And, sadly, they did not really consult a lawyer. They spoke to a lawyer on the phone, and they looked some things up online, and they drew up their own contract. Oh, and we're all friendly, and everyone gets along. Well, guess what, Kevin? It's 4 years later. The place hasn't even opened yet. And they're coming to my office next week to try to unravel a mess that really shouldn't have been a mess in the first place. But had they gone, and let's say they spent $5,000. Now think about it. You're spending $4 million, right, on a location. Let's say they had to spend $15,000. You're spending $4 million on the chairs and the lights and the kitchen equipment.
Yeah, get the paperwork now, right, pal.
Now they're not getting along. And what would have been in that paperwork would have been exit clauses. Well, if this happens, if there's a breach of this situation, if you don't live up to that, this is what the exit plan is. This is how you would get bought out, or the other side would get bought out. Now it's likely to wind up in litigation. And all kidding aside, it's going to cost one or both parties tens of thousands of dollars if it actually has to go into court and not get settled. Another case I got called on this week was a car accident case, and there was, luckily, no one was severely injured, but they were injured, and the car was messed up. And instead of calling a lawyer, oh, I don't want to give the lawyer a third of my settlement, I'm going to handle it myself. Well, again, they haven't gotten nearly the amount of money that they were hoping they were going to get. They do have legitimate injuries. They do have legitimate property damage.
Oh, and, wow.
They're not going to get anywhere close to what they would have.
All right, so tonight's Esquire etiquette, don't chintz out on the money to spend the lawyer when you should, because you're going to end up paying way more for it down the road later. Arthur, always appreciate it, my man. Go have a great dinner with Borough President Adams and give him our best, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Kev. Talk to you next week.
Be well. Kevin McCullough, we'll see you tomorrow night live at Hunt and Fish.